It is 7:08 in the morning. You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards Ticker.
And I'm Kat Brooks, and we are turning our attention now to Washington, D.C. with Mitch Jezrich, who is there covering the impeachment inquiry proceedings. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning, gang.
Okay, let's start with where we always start. Who did not show up for testimony today?
Well, wait till I tell you. Anyway, back to business here, Kat. Today's actually the second to last day that we have scheduled depositions to occur here on here on Capitol Hill, and which have been occurring for these past few weeks behind closed doors. And everyone was looking to see if today John Bolton, the former national security advisor, would appear or not. He has been asked to come testify. He has not been subpoenaed to testify. Previously, his attorney said that the House would have to subpoena him for him to show up. That did not happen. He was only summoned. And so far, the committees have been meeting for over an hour now. So far, he has not shown up to give his testimony. But there are two other people who did show up this morning. The first one is Jennifer Williams. Jennifer Williams is a top aide to Vice President Mike Pence. And presumably, she's here to talk about what did Mike Pence and what did the office of Mike Pence know about this situation with Ukraine. We know that Mike Pence had met with Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, when in Europe, when Donald Trump had to cancel such a meeting because of a hurricane that was approaching the southeast of the United States. So I think they're talking to Jennifer Williams, who did show up to give a deposition, wanting to talk to her to try to find out what did the vice president's office know about the situation and the relationships and the negotiations between the United States and Ukraine concerning the $391 million in military aid, and of course concerning the investigations that we know Rudy Giuliani at the very least wanted Ukraine to do, both into the Bidens, the oil company Burisma, and the 2016 election. One other person has showed up this morning unexpectedly, and that is Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. Now, presumably, he has shown up this morning to go through his transcript with the committee again, perhaps to revise his transcript, as other people have done as well. I think a lot of people were anticipating Alexander Vindman would be one of the people who would be called on to give public testimony through the open process. As everyone now knows, we're going to have two hearings next week that will be open, but Alexander Vindman is not one of those witnesses. So is that because maybe there were some concerns about what he testified before? I don't know. I'm just guessing. But we do know that he has returned today to go over his transcript with the committee.
Mitch, John Bolton was summoned. He didn't show up. He shares an attorney, Charles Cooper, with Charles Kupperman, the former Trump national security official that we've been talking about, who went to court to say, tell me who I'm supposed to listen to. But now the House Democrats have pulled his subpoena. So then what is the implication for that amongst these other top officials connected to the Trump administration who have defied their summons?
Yeah, it could put them in some legal limbo. And it was surprising to me late yesterday when I learned the news that the House of Representatives withdrew its subpoena for Charles Kupperman, who was the top aide to John Bolton when he was the national security advisor. And as you said, shares an attorney with John Bolton. We all assumed that whatever would happen with Charles Kupperman, who went to a judge to say, do I listen to the subpoena from the House or do I listen to the president in the White House who's telling me not to go give testimony? And so I was pretty surprised to see that news yesterday. I will say that the House of Representatives, that Adam Schiff, who is chairing this entire process and who will chair next week's open hearings, has believed all along that Charles Kupperman was breaking the law by not showing up to testify. That even though Charles Kupperman went to a judge to say, who should I listen to? That wasn't good enough for Adam Schiff. I suspect that Adam Schiff thought that Charles Kupperman was doing whatever he could to delay and try to legally protect himself by not showing up for a congressional subpoena. So what will that mean for other people? People like John Eisenberg, who is the White House counsel that Alexander Vindman testified began the process of taking the record of the phone call between Donald Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky out of one server and putting it into a different computer server that is more highly classified, that less people have access to, right? John Eisenberg's attorney said that he was waiting to see how this judge's decision would go. So the House of Representatives have asked this judge to dismiss the case altogether. I don't fully understand it. I suspect that these House committees are playing some legal game that's probably even over my head of why they did this.
Hmm. Next week, the hearings go public. Who are they starting with, and what will the format be?
So we will have two open hearings that will be conducted by the House Intelligence Committee next week on Thursday, November 13th, and Wednesday, November 13th, and then on Friday, November 15th. The first hearing will feature two witnesses. It's William Taylor, who is leading the embassy for the United States in Ukraine, kind of referred to as the acting ambassador. He has so far given probably the most significant testimony that has affected at least the narrative of what's happening over this impeachment inquiry. He will be testifying along with George Kent on the same day. George Kent is from the State Department. George Kent was one of the first people to give his deposition in this process many weeks ago. And his testimony was basically he was the one who was supposed to oversee this region of the world, which included Ukraine and Russia, and he was basically sidelined for this other channel of foreign diplomacy that was being led by Rudy Giuliani and Gordon Sondland. And so that's his testimony. So those will be the two individuals who testify on Wednesday. Then on Friday, we will hear from the witness, Marie Yovanovitch, who was the ambassador to Ukraine, who we know had an adversarial relationship with the Ukrainian prosecutor that Giuliani wanted to investigate Burisma, the Bidens, and any potential interference in the 2016 election. Donald Trump had her recalled. We have since learned, and by looking at the transcript between the call between Trump and Zelensky, that Trump called her bad news, and that she'll be going through some things, which we don't know what that means, but it sounds ominous. It could have just been that she's going to be recalled. Who knows? So she testified, as we got her transcript earlier this week, that she felt very threatened by all of that. Again, to sort of demonstrate that there was this effort to go through a second channel of diplomacy with Ukraine, other than the traditional channel, which was headed by diplomats, not only Marie Yovanovitch, but also William Taylor and George Kent. The format will be about the first 90 minutes will be controlled by the chair of the committee, Adam Schiff, and then also the ranking Republican of the committee, Devin Nunes of Fresno, the Fresno area. And they will each have 45 minutes to go straight, so it won't be your usual 5-minute question, then to the next person who takes the line of questioning in a complete different, avenue or direction. And so it'll start with Adam Schiff having the first 45 minutes. It's very possible Adam Schiff will have his attorney, the staff attorney, doing the questioning during that 45 minutes. Then it will go to Devin Nunes, who will have the next 45 minutes straight of questioning. Very possible that Devin Nunes will call on his own staff attorney to do the questioning of the witnesses. And then once that is all over, then it will go to the traditional 5-minute rounds in which every member on the House Intelligence Committee will have the opportunity to be able to ask their own questions. One interesting development, Kat, is there's three committees that have been doing this process up to now in the closed depositions, not just the Intelligence Committee, but also Foreign Affairs and Government Oversight Committees. But with these procedures that were passed last week out of the House of Representatives, it said that the open hearing will only be done by the House Intelligence Committee. And that would have effectively sidelined two of Donald Trump's biggest defenders in this process so far, Jim Jordan of Ohio and Mark Meadows of North Carolina. There's a lot of talk right now that Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader for the Republicans, is going to put both Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows on the Intelligence Committee, swap them out with a couple of members who they don't think will come swinging, and that he will put them on for these hearings next week.
Mitch, the Senate is doing its thing and sort of figuring out how it's going to act once it moves into their purview, if it does. What's happening over there in response to all of this?
Well, first off, you know, the Senate is the only body that's in session this week. Even though the House, there are closed depositions that are occurring, so these three committees are working behind closed doors. There's actually no activity by the House of Representatives other than that, and most lawmakers are not here. So what do reporters then have to do? Well, they got to go to the Senate because the Senate's in session. You got to find someone to interview, right? You got to find some kind of news to make a living. And so I think part of that dynamic has a lot of senators being asked questions about this impeachment process. We know already that Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has brought a resolution to call the process in the House of Representatives an illegitimate process. And 50 Republicans of the 53 Republicans have signed on to that resolution. So you have the potential, again, if the House of Representatives gets the majority vote to impeach Donald Trump, it will go to the Senate for a trial. Senators are basically considered jurors. And we know that already half of the senators already believe what the House of Representatives is doing is an illegitimate process. So just going into it. Now, just like the Democrats have been able to make the rules concerning how the impeachment process was going to occur in the House, well, because the Republicans have the majority in the Senate, well, the shoe is going to be put on the other foot. Now the Republicans are going to get to control how the trial will go. And that will be important. They could determine what evidence can be used, who may come and give witnesses, what will be behind closed doors. There's no guarantee that the entire trial will happen out in the open and broadcasted. There'll be parts of it like there was for the Bill Clinton impeachment in 1998 that will probably happen behind closed doors. There's a lot of talk about Mitch McConnell, the Republican majority leader, and the Democratic minority leader, Chuck Schumer, getting together and trying to strike a deal about how the trial should go, to try to make it at least look like it is a legitimate process, because it could be dangerous for Republicans, because if Republicans just, you know, make it look so slanted in Trump's favor, that could actually come off bad as well in the court of public opinion, right? And so they're talking about getting together and trying to figure out some way to be able to come up with rules. And they're looking at the 1998 trial of Bill Clinton, in which Trent Lott, who was the Republican Senate Majority Leader then, and Tom Daschle, who was the Democratic leader at the time, actually got together, agreed on procedures for the trial, and then had a vote from the entire Senate that in that vote won 100-0. And so, you know, it is possible for something like this to happen.
A vote on but the trial procedure, not the removal of Bill Clinton from office. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. The trial procedure. And so, you know, will that happen here? Well, it's a different period now than it was there. I don't think most people were expecting that. And some of us reporters talked this over with Republican Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. And it's interesting because at the end of this clip that we're going to play for you, I have sound of it for you. At the end of this clip, I kind of push back a little bit on what he's saying about what's happening in the House. And he just erupts at me that Nancy Pelosi is a liar and Adam Schiff is a liar, and then walked off. So anyways, here is John Kennedy responding to questions about whether or not the Senate can come to an agreement, a bipartisan agreement, on what the trial will look like.
Do I think it'll happen? The short answer is no. Long answer is hell no. I don't think Chuck's going to agree to anything. I don't think Speaker Pelosi's going to agree to anything. I think for the next 13 months until the election, that would be very consistent. Whatever helps Trump, they're against.
What about putting together the Senate rules for impeachment?
Well, as I understand it, and I'm in the process of reading about it, in the past, or at least the recent past, that the House or the Senate Majority Leader and Minority Leaders have gotten down and worked on some rules together, and they put it up for everybody, and everybody says, okay, make this change, make that change, and let's do it. Do I think that'll happen this time? I hope so, but I doubt it.
Why do you doubt it?
Because this will be the first partisan impeachment in the history of our country. And I think it's clearly a partisan impeachment. You're going to see Republicans line up on one side and Democrats line up on another. And I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think we'll even be able to get agreement on the rules. I do think that just practically and politically, to this day, I don't understand why Speaker Pelosi and Chairman Schiff insisted on conducting these very critical hearings in private. I'm just going
to... Okay. So they say that it's because they are doing the investigation, though. They didn't have a special prosecutor.
I know, but sometimes people lie around here.
So you think they're lying about that?
That was Republican John Kennedy. He didn't erupt really, Mitch. He just...
Well, I don't like it at the time. You had to be there. You had to be there. But he walked away. He walked away. And when I followed up with that question, he just kept walking away and wouldn't answer once I started asking, well, wait a minute. The Democrats are saying that they had to do the investigation. And because there was no special prosecutor, Robert Mueller was no longer, on the job. And besides, Robert Mueller was from the Justice Department. So that's a little bit different. That the Justice Department had refused to pursue this issue concerning Ukraine because the inspector general did go to through the administration, and they decided that it didn't rise to the level of an investigation, that it didn't rise to the level of a violation of a campaign finance law. And so then it went to Congress, and then that's how this whole impeachment process began. And so Democrats say, we had to do the investigation. Republicans have done the investigation. It was a very similar process that occurred in the Republicans' investigation into Benghazi. Also, witnesses were called to give depositions behind closed doors before there was ever an open process. But now that we're going to an open process, that the Democrats say, now we're going to be going with the sort of what we've seen in the past, what you saw more similar with the Bill Clinton impeachment. And so... when you ask those questions, the Republicans, and there's very, it's almost like both sides are talking past each other, including the whistleblower laws, right? They have such a complete different view, or they're saying complete different things about what the laws mean or what the procedures mean in impeachment, the laws over the whistleblower, that, and rarely are they actually asked about, well, wait a minute, this is what they're saying. Why am I hearing two different things that don't seem to be adding up, and that's what I wanted to do there with Senator Kennedy, and he just walked away.
I feel like over the last few days, Mitch, particularly as the transcripts have been released, that Republicans are doing a lot of walking away, a lot of sort of just deflecting and dismissing when they're being asked questions, and that their defense of their previous talking points and of President Trump have just gotten more and more difficult for them.
Well, it's interesting. In one defense they got, they're actually going to take from Taylor, who's going to testify next week on Wednesday, and whose transcript was released yesterday. And I think we suspected this, but what we confirmed with William Taylor's transcript from his deposition is that he never talked directly to Donald Trump. that his orders, primarily the orders about this quid pro quo, was always coming from Rudy Giuliani and Gordon Sondland. Now, presumably they talked to Donald Trump, but we really don't have any witnesses so far that got the order from Donald Trump himself. Now, you can look at the transcript between the call between Trump and Zelensky, but, you know, they're... people are reading that differently, right, as to what it actually says. But as of the order to withhold the $391 million, the order to say we want these investigations first, we haven't heard anyone testify, and we won't next week in the open hearings, of somebody that actually got that testimony, that order, that directive from Donald Trump himself.
So to your point, I just want to make your point clear in terms of like the defense that you're pulling out of there is that folks are now saying it wasn't the president, it was Rudy Giuliani.
I mean, Giuliani could potentially be the fall guy in all this. There's no doubt about that. And that's why it's really critical to hear from John Bolton, who doesn't appear to be showing up today, and Mick Mulvaney, the chief of staff, who is summoned to come tomorrow. He probably won't show up either. It doesn't mean that at some point during this process they won't come testify, but the chief of staff and the national security advisor are really the two closest people to the president. When the president makes an order, it's usually through one of those two positions. And that's why it's critical to actually hear from them, and not hearing from them, and if we never hear from them, That didn't work out.
We may never hear from him. That's about all the time we had anyway. Mitch Jezerich, thank you so much for getting almost all the way through our segment.
Bye-bye.
Mitch Jezerich is our Capitol Hill correspondent this week and the past couple. He'll be coming back shortly when we switch to covering impeachment proceedings live, which we intend to be broadcasting Monday and Wednesday of next week when they happen.